So welcome, welcome. In the beginning, God created heaven on earth. And then he sent his sanctuary to demonstrate his love of heaven on earth. And then Jesus came to show us a heavenly Father on earth. And then he said, we are the temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit to experience heaven on earth. This is about a life of abundance, not deprivation. It's about abundance. And I hope as we are here in the next few days that you will see some great ways to add abundance to your life and to your family menus and to your church outreach that will help others to experience this abundant life. So today our focus is on fiber, your fabulous friend. Fiber is found in foods like God made. When he made apples and oranges and carrots and squash, it has the fiber in it that helps to release the glucose slowly so we have energy for our body, but especially we have energy for the brain. Why do we want energy for our brain? Why does it matter how we think? It matters everything. That matters on how we get along with each other. It matters how the Holy Spirit communicates to us. And so when we live in a world of fast food and refined food and processed food, we're missing that component, that special component of fiber that has many functions. But one of the major ones that I want to talk about today is just the importance of brain health. To feed the brain what it needs. And so when you start your day in the morning, think fiber. How can I get enough fiber in my diet? And so I want to show you what my husband makes for us for breakfast every morning, 364 days. Out of the year, just about. We love it. And every morning when we're eating, we go, this is a dessert. This is so exciting. This is so yummy. So we take three different grains. And Deborah, would you bring me those three grains that I have there on the table? We mix three grains, and these are already mixed. And does anyone want to guess what those grains are? There's a barley. Oats, and how about the other one? It's kamut. Have you ever heard of kamut? So I'm going to pass these around, and you can see if you can guess which one is which. But those are whole grains, and so the trick is, the night before you go to bed, you have your crock pot, and you see, yeah. And so in the crock pot, you would put 1 cup of mixed grains. So we buy them separately at Country Life, 25-pound bags of kamut, 25-pound bags of oats. It looks like we're feeding horses. And we have these huge bins that have a nice lid that goes on them. So we have one of each, and then we have one called mixed, and that's the one we mix. So with each cup of grains, you will add 2.5 cups of water. So if you're putting in 2 cups of grains, how much water? 5. Okay, you got it. So you put 1 cup of grains, 2.5 cups of water for each cup of grains. And then you have a timer, you know, like the ones that make lights come on and off. Set it for 3 o'clock, come on at 3 in the morning, and by 6 o'clock, breakfast is ready. And you can tell they're quite chewy. It's a chewy grain, isn't it? And then on top of that grain, you put berries, banana, a cut up fresh apple, and walnut. And if you need a little agave or honey, you put a little of that on, which we don't need. Oh, I don't need. And it is an absolute delightful breakfast. Does anybody do something similar? Anybody do something similar like this for breakfast? Vicki does. She's one of my, what? I keep her supplied with her bag of grain. She does not need 75 pounds of grain. So, I wonder who may be willing to try this cereal. Anybody willing? There on the front and you. Okay, would you come up and get this? And then hand it to the lady right behind you. Your hands I saw first. And so you'll take that home with you. One cup of grains and 2.5. Now some people like it a little soupier in your crock pot or your slow cookers. Maybe different, so, you know, you need to experiment with that. But this is just our very favorite breakfast, high in fiber. You've got go power for hours after eating this great cereal. Okay, Debbie, are you here? Would you come up here, please? And Joanne, would you take this away? The food that is the very highest in fiber, do you know what the food is that's the very highest in fiber? Okay. Beans. How much fiber? You can come on over here. How much fiber do you need for the whole day? How many grams of fiber? Good. Yeah, 30 to 50. So if your number was somewhere between 30 and 50, that is right. So, but you slowly increase fiber. What's the average intake of fiber for most Americans? 10. So you don't want to go from 10 to 50 in one day, okay? So you slowly increase. So you think about, where can I, you know, get more fiber? How can I put beans? Every time I'm making a meal, I go, how can I add beans to this dish? You know, and what kind of beans? It's not, am I going to have beans? It's how am I going to use beans in this meal? So anyway, I'm going to show you a recipe for that in just a minute, but I want you to meet Debbie Norris. Debbie lives in the Petoskey area, and she has invited me to her supper club up there. When did you get your supper club started?
Probably in about almost seven years ago.
Okay. And what inspired you to do that?
Well, I had done things like this in the past, but I always worked behind the scenes. I think that what really put me off on doing something was the technology today. And I was running a PowerPoint, and I was just really frightened of that, and so I didn't want anything to do with it. So I have to say that I was not inspired to do it at all. And our pastor was supposed to do the class, and he got ill. So then a friend of mine, she just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Her name is Jenny. You can do it, you can do it. And I just felt overwhelmed. I didn't want anything to do with it, but God kept moving me forward, and once you get involved, it's almost like an addiction. So I really felt that...
We're talking about that this afternoon, addictions, 2 o'clock.
The health ministry has always been in my blood, and when my husband and I spent a year in the Dominican Republic, we were at a self-supporting institution, which one of the things they did was teach the natural health to the natives there. So, you know, it's always been in my blood, and I've done a lot of reading, and I know that it's the right arm of the gospel.
How many people are in your church?
We probably have about 50 active members.
50 active members. How many usually comes to your supper club?
From our church family?
No, how many attendants?
Oh, okay. We have anywhere from 15 to 35 guests that are not Adventists. So, and that's really quite consistent.
Do you have people who are not Christians who come?
Oh gosh, yes. We have a whole table of agnostics and atheists. So it's really exciting. And they come week after week after week.
She didn't tell me that till after the program, which was interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is your passion? What is your, why are you doing this?
Well, this is kind of a little bit of a long story, but I think it's important that you know this, because evangelism has really been important to me, and I really feel that a church without evangelism is really dead. And we had really been moving forward. We had a couple of inspiring pastors who really believed in evangelism. And then for some reason, things unraveled. And I'm not sure how, if you've all experienced that, but there were probably a good 7 years in a row that there was nothing going on. My heart was just aching. And there was one time where I was told that, you know, evangelism wasn't important. Doing the type of evangelism, you know, with the flyers and all of that wasn't an important thing. That what was important was preaching a good sermon from the pulpit. That was what was important. And then this pastor would convert people. So I tell you that because I after that conversation, I cried and cried and cried because all of our evangelism had been set up. We canceled our speaker and everything. It was just horrible. So when I got back involved back in doing the supper clubs and I saw people coming out, God truly spoke to my heart and he said, this is the evangelism that you've been looking for. So your supper clubs are an evangelistic outreach because you never know who you're going to reach. Now, over the last 7 years, we've had people attend our evangelistic crusades. Now, we haven't had a baptism yet, but I'm not discouraged because seeds have been planted. And the most incredible thing is the stable of agnostics and atheists. They've been coming for like 3, maybe 4 years. And it's so exciting. You know, they'll be there.
They're very involved in the discussion.
Oh, yes. Very much so. And I got a phone call telling me, you know, not to get too churchy because they still wanted to attend. But we still haven't changed our methods.
Do you hold this in the church?
Do I what? Yeah, we have a fellowship hall, which is just behind our church. And so, you know, Adventist, the name Adventist is everywhere. We've had so many exciting experiences. There was a lady who's helped me. She's from the Traverse City area. She came up and did a health talk for us because she had the credentials from, and you'll have to help me with this, it's the Forks Over Knives. They do credentialing anyway for health outreach. Anyway, she told everyone, if the Adventists tell you to come, you better come because they have this right. They have it nailed down. So we have, you know, so many people out there that, you know, believe in this message. And if we don't do something about it, they will.
So you are doing your part in Petoskey. Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome.
Oh, isn't that exciting? Exciting. So you drive 45 miles to go every month to her supper club. Yes. Yeah, it's very nicely done. When I visited and heard her story, I said, we have got to share that. I know a lot of you would like to do some work in your community, and we hope that you get inspiration while you are here during this week. Okay, my last recipe I want to demonstrate is the quick, let's get something made, and you can use this so many ways. You can do it over haystacks, put it over rice or quinoa, have it as a chili soup. So it's all in cans. Now, Joanne's going to show you how to do it the right way, and I'm showing you how to do it the quick way when you are just, you know, you just got to get this together. And I think that canned beans are fine. We promote canned beans if you can only eat things from a can. Beans, if the only way you're going to eat beans is from a can, then eat them. Use it. But Joanne's going to show you some other great ways to cook beans as well. So I'm starting with the Chili Man chili. Okay, so this is giving a chili-type flavor in a crock pot. And then I'm going to add a can of black beans. Choose one or two other kinds of beans, any kind of beans that you like.
And I'm adding some black beans and some pinto beans. But you could use red beans or any other kind. And then I like to add some diced tomatoes. And this one happens to be seasoned ones with basil and oregano and so forth. But you don't have to use the tomatoes if you don't want to. And then if you want just a little bit of hotness, you can add some salsa to it. I did not. I just added just a little bit.
I said something about your recipe.
Okay.
People come to my house, I don't know if they're expecting Martha Stewart or what, but this is the deal. And some people came in and had my this meal, and they said, "What an amazing cook. I don't know how you do it." Now you know how I do it.
Well, I kind of thought everybody knew how to do this. You know how you think everybody knows how to do things? And so when I demonstrated this, so many people have said, "Oh, I just make those crock pot beans." So if you put this on in the morning before you go to church, it's ready when you get home. You know, you've got 3 or 4 hours there for it to simmer on low. And by the way, the cereal is on low. It's for the 3 hours. But, you know, you can also just put this in a saucepan and heat it up. Let those flavors mix a little bit, and you have something that's pretty great and very high in fiber, right? And that's what we're going for. Any questions about these? No. Well, it depends on how soupy you want it. If you're going to make it like a chili, leave those in. If you're trying to reduce sodium, rinse them. So it depends on the consistency. And so I just kind of look as I put, depends on, you know, how much I'm going to make. Like when I made the big pot, I thought, oh, it's getting pretty soupy. I better start draining them. So just depends on your consistency. Yes. If you want onions and garlic and you have the time to do that, then you do your onions and garlic and put it, but it would probably, it depends on how long it's going to be in the crock pot. Yes.
Can you rinse your beans?
You can rinse the beans and get rid of about a third of the sodium if you're trying to reduce your sodium. Yes. Oh, that'd be great to add some corn, frozen or canned corn. Yes, you can put anything else in here that you have the time to put in there. Yeah, that goes with chili. Some veggie burger kind of stuff in there, too. Sometimes you could do something like that. Okay, now we are going to turn over to the expert. Come on, Miss Expert. Miss Joanne. How many of you know Joanne? Yay, Joanne. Joanne is my inspiration. She is an amazing woman, first of all, and just a delightful person, and she has created so many amazing recipes, two cookbooks that you can find in, well, more than that. We're featuring two of the cookbooks here, but she's got lots of them. And you know she's a crock pot queen, or a slow cooker queen. What do you call it, Joanne?
The crack pot.
Crack pot. Okay, so please welcome Joanne. Joanne Rocker. Okay, Joanne is also a coach, and she has been certified through Well Coaches. Okay. And there's some material on her business there in the back. And she helps people reach and maintain their healthy goals. So if you're struggling, or do you know someone that's struggling, she is an expert. Last year we did a session on coaching here that can't be. But she's going to tell you more about that later.
Thank you, Ms. Evelyn. Yeah, I have these back there, and I also have a card on here because if you want my email address, I have notes, because how many of you here do supper clubs or cooking classes, that sort of thing? Okay, so several hands. I do have handouts that I can email you, that things that I do that help me when I do a class, tips to, for recipes or for preparing things. And also a few things that from the coaching classes that, Evelyn and I did last year at camp meeting that helped to create conversations in the classes. And so today we're going to be looking at crockpot recipes, and I have a I have two cookbooks. I don't have more than two cookbooks, just two. So this is the cookbook that we'll be using today, and probably some of you have this one already. I have revised it just a few months ago, and so there's some changes in the recipes, and then the layout of the pictures is different. I have a lot of pictures in here of things that you can make in a crock pot. So where I want to start, though, is on your recipes, it says getting to know your slow cooker. And the reason that I have this first page is that I found out when I started doing cooking in a crock pot, I found out that they don't all cook the same. And that's why when you buy a cookbook, you might find where in one cookbook it says to cook something for 4 to 6 hours. In another recipe book, it'll say in a crock pot you cook it for 8 to 10 hours. Have you noticed that sort of variation? I figured it out. It's because they don't all cook the same. They really, and so that's why when I decided to work on a cookbook, I had to get a whole bunch of crock pots. And so I at one point I think I had about 30. I think I'm down to 25 now, but I always say that some people buy shoes. And anyway, it's what I found was that I would, and what I did was I cooked literally hundreds of pounds of beans in all my different crock pots to compare how long they took in different pots. And I found that I could divide up the crock pot. I say crock pot, that's actually a copyrighted name, that's Rival, or the generic name is slow cooker, but I divided them up to average pots, fast pots, and extra fast pots. And it doesn't matter the brand. It's just that the way that I decide is that I cook a pound of beans, and I have those instructions on here. It says, here is the test. You cook a pound of Great Northern, navy beans, pinto beans, and then it tells in here how much water to add, about 5 cups of water, and you cook it on low. They're not soaked. They're just cooked on low with the water. And then you determine, you know, you find out how long they take to get soft. And that usually an average pot, and they have it on here, an average pot takes 9 to 9.5 hours to cook a pound of beans until they're soft. You want them soft. That helps with making beans easier to digest. And some people prefer to rinse their beans, you know, to soak them and rinse off that water and start with soaked beans, and that's fine. You can do that, but you don't have to. You can just cook them without soaking them first. And this is how long to cook them on low. It takes 9 to 9.5 hours with an average pot. It takes 8 to 8.5 hours with a fast pot, and an extra fast pot takes 6.5 to 7 hours. So there's a big difference, isn't there? Yeah. And that's one reason that, you know, we might cook something, put something in the pot and be gone all day, and it's burned, even though the recipe says it would take, you know, a longer period of time. So you can see why I needed a lot of pots, right? I'll just throw, yes. So in my book, I have charts in here. I'll just show you. Well, actually, you've got one chart in here on the second page, and this shows you the if you're cooking them on low and not soaking, and there's all these different kinds of beans and how long they take to cook. And I also have charts on if they're not soaked and cooked on high, if they're soaked and cooked on low, or if they're soaked and cooked on high. And so, yes, cooking them after they're soaked will save some time. Yes. Yes. Yep. She says the question was, do I ever cook beans on high? And yes, I do. And I have a chart on how to cook them on high, whether they're soaked or not soaked.
I was going to say, for example, I make garbanzos, but I put my garbanzos in my pot, cover it with a glass of water, put it on high, or then they're done by 3 or 4 hours.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's on this chart, since these are cooked on low, I don't recommend trying to do garbanzos in an average pot on low. It just doesn't seem to cook in the same way with soybeans. But if you're cooking them on high, yes, it will work fine. Would that make a difference, you're saying? I'm not sure. And you want to be careful with boiling water. If your pot is cold, that you could crack your pot. Sir? Yep. And I put salt. I have not found any difference in the length of time that it takes to cook beans, whether you put your salt in the beginning or at the end. Yes.
Just going back to the question, I've noticed that a lot of beans on the packaging stage were quick soaked, one that was supposed to be about like water per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at hot water, the beans are probably
Well, I call this, the name of my cookbook is Fast Cooking in a Slow Cooker. And what really is fast cooking in a slow cooker, if you're running late like I was this morning, I got here at 7, but I needed to cook a couple things faster, and so I put them in the microwave to get them hot, and then I put them in my crock pot. And that's really fast cooking in a slow cooker. So you just got to figure out what's going to work. Was there any other questions? Does it change the nutritional value if you cook them on low or on high? No, I don't think so. I've never heard that it would. But it's important that the beans are cooked soft. You don't want chewy beans. You want them nice and soft where they, you know, in your fingers that they can mush. Okay? So, you know, and I'm so glad that you asked these questions because to me, in my book, I have, I can't remember how many. Anyway, there's quite a few recipes in here, ways to do different types of breakfast, ways to do a lot of different entrees, how to bake bread, even how to make ice cream. You know, there's a lot of different ideas how to make cookies in your crock pot. But if I were to only have one recipe in here that's the most important to me is how to cook beans. So I really appreciate the question. I would, if you wanted quinoa in there, I think I would add it towards the end. I haven't tried it. It would probably get pretty dissolved, pretty mushy. Let's see. Okay, well, I want to show you. So here we have what I served today were black beans. And the reason that I did that is because black beans, I haven't watched this with all beans. I used to use like a navy bean or a great northern bean or a garbanzo bean because I like those. I like the pretty color. And I put a little bit of turmeric in there and it gives it a beautiful, just a little bit of a yellow shade. But if you're, to bring beans to a class, to serve a bunch of them, they get mushy in there. And so I like to keep some shape, and I find that the black beans will keep more of a shape. And so that's why and they're, you know, they have probably the most fiber of all the beans. And so a lot of people like to do their black beans. So that's why I use them today.
Now, what I prefer to do is add my seasonings at the end. I did put the salt in here to begin with, and I put the oil in here. Oil is optional. It just gives a little more flavor. For a pound of beans, I put a tablespoon of olive oil in there. But the seasoning, and this is so simple. That's why it's called simple but simply delicious. There's no chopping up of onions, no any of that. You're just cooking your beans, and then I have seasonings in here, yeast flakes, onion and garlic powder, and basil. And you can see what I'm doing with my spatula. You can't see inside of there, but usually after your beans have cooked and you stir them, usually there's water that comes to the top that you didn't see before. And so I stir them, and then I pull the beans to the side, and then I put my seasonings in, because if I were just to open up the lid and drop the seasonings in without doing the stirring and pulling it to the side, it would just, you know how onion powder or garlic powder, it clumps together very easily once you get steam or moisture. And so I pull it to the side, and there's always a little pocket of water, and I put my seasonings in, and I stir it in with the water, and then I stir together the whole combination. And that is all there was to those beans. Of course, you can add any of your own seasonings, but that's it. So is there any questions about that? Did that pretty much make sense? I had onion and garlic powder, yeast flakes, and basil. Thank you. It's on the third page, simple but simply delicious beans. And so when you look at that recipe, that simple but simply delicious beans, you see that this is the layout of my book, and so that you can use any size crock pot that you have. It tells you you can make a smaller recipe, and all the recipes are like that in here, or a larger recipe. It tells you what size crock pots you can use to make those recipes in. And you'll see on these other pages if you want to cook it on high or on low, how long it will take to cook. And they're within about 30 minutes range of time of how long they each take to cook. All right, let's look at the, I want the little pot in there, the macaroni. Yeah. Yep, just like what Evelyn did. And Evelyn mentioned about using a timer, a lamp appliance timer, and these are so great. This is what I did, like with the beans. I set the beans on. I put the pots out last night, and then I set the timer for it to come on at midnight. And so the beans cooked, and that's a very convenient way to do. Now, Yes. Yep. Thank you for saying that. If you have the digital kind or the smart pot type thing, you can't do that with the timer. And so that's why I prefer just the regular dial, and then I make my own pot programmable. And the nice thing is that I can make it start and stop whenever I want to. I'm not stuck with what the pot says. Now this is the macaroni and cheese, and before I do anything more, because I just took this off the heat, and I'll explain the recipe here in a minute, but what I want to show you is I use dry pasta. I don't pre-cook it, and I wait until the sauce in here comes to a light simmer. And so And I use a whole wheat pasta. Okay. Now, we use the whole wheat pasta.
You can also use a gluten-free pasta in this macaroni and cheese. I know that there's more brands out there now that don't dissolve, you know, through cooking process. Even on the stove, they used to kind of break apart. So just make sure you use one that you know when you cook it on the stove, it keeps its shape really well too. And then it should work fine in the crock pot. But, the whole wheat is what I use, compared to that. But, of course you can use the white pasta or you can combine them, you know, because the texture is chewier with the whole grain. The, concept here, when you're looking at your recipe, the mac and cheese. The idea here is that you're blending up this first table of ingredients. It says blend the following ingredients for 1 minute until very smooth. This is an important point, and I'll be saying this today and tomorrow, but you want to really blend those things until they're smooth. And if your blender is not a high-powered blender, then you might want to blend it for 2 or 3 minutes. But you want it smooth, and that way it will look the best. And I'm using oats and in here because oats can cook in the crock pot and they don't give a curdled look. Some things, like if you were to put cornstarch in your crock pot right from the beginning on a recipe, or if you were to put flour in there, as it cooks, it gives a curdled look eventually. It doesn't affect the flavor, but it doesn't, the appearance isn't that great. But oats seem to work really well. And so you can use oat flour or you can blend up your oats in the blender. But this is diluted because it's the cheese sauce, but it's also the water to cook the pasta at the same time. I do have a couple cheese sauces in the recipes. Just strictly cheese sauce, how to do that in the crock pot. That works out nice. So you're blending up your water, oats, yeast flakes, pimento, and your seasoning, and you put that in your crock pot, and then the second table says how much water to add, and so if you're making a larger recipe, how much water do you add? Yep, 5 2/3 cup of water, and then the oil. The reason I put the oil directly in the crock pot rather than in the blender is so that it's much easier to clean a blender if there's no oil in there. And so I always try to find ways to keep the oil contained so that cleaning up is faster and easier. Now that you have your sauce in your crock pot, you're going to cook it, and it tells in this table down here if you want to cook it on low or if you want to cook it on high. I do have on the next page in here, I have a macaroni and cheese that does have the cashews and the oats instead of the oil. She said, if I don't want to use oil, what can I do? And so I do have a regular mac and cheese without the oil. But it's actually probably lower in fat using the olive oil in this recipe than to use the nuts. So you have your sauce, and the idea here now is that you're bringing it to a light boil, and in this table down here, it tells you if you're doing a small, I'm asking you now, if you have an average cooker, an average crock pot, and you're doing the smaller recipe, how long will it take to cook the macaroni and cheese? 5 to 5.5 hours. And actually, in this case, that's how long it takes for the sauce to come to this light simmer around the edges of your pot. It has to come to that light boil, that light simmer, before you put your pasta in. If it wasn't, you know, if it was still like room temperature, then your pasta would dissolve or, you know, get kind of gummy. And then you stir your pasta in like I just did. And with the macaroni, it takes 40 minutes for it to cook. But if you're using, I've also found that I can use the shell, the whole grain shells. I think you can use probably any pasta, but I haven't actually compared it until now. And what I do is that I weigh, so if you have a little scale, you weigh the macaroni pasta, the 3 cups that a recipe calls for, you know what that weight is, and then you can get another kind of pasta out that you want to try, and you come up with the same weight. And so if it's 6 ounces of macaroni, you want 6 ounces of another pasta. Because it won't be the same amount. That makes sense? Yes, okay. And the other thing is, like, with the medium shells, if you look at them, you see that they're a lighter weight. They're not as heavy, dense as the macaroni. So this is going to take less time, probably 10 or 15 minutes less. And the penne was really pretty, too. That took the same cooking time as the macaroni. Yes. Can you pre-cook pasta? You might be able to, but you would still have to cook, but I don't know if that would shorten. It might shorten the cooking time. So the starch is another factor. There'll be less, is there supposed to be less starch in pre-cooked pasta? Another thing that you can do with this kind of recipe that makes it convenient is that you can make up your sauce. You know, take your blended ingredients and freeze them. And then take it out of the freezer and when you're ready to cook it and put your water and your oil and your frozen sauce, put that in the crock pot. Or you can mix up all of these ingredients for several recipes, the dry ingredients. I mean, this is a very convenient recipe. If you want something fast, you can do several of these at one time, the sauce part, and then cook them later. I was going to mention that I use the, you can buy pimento in bulk, but now in grocery stores they also have larger containers, but this is one that I get through Country Life, and it's nice, because I will measure it out. I'll freeze this in half-cup portions. Is anybody not familiar with a lamp appliance primer? I mean, do you want me to pass this around? I've got two different kinds. This one I use all the time. Actually, I've got three of these, but it's really dirty, so I'm not going to pass it around. But I'll pass the clean one. All right. The other thing I wanted to mention with beans, like if you do end up having too much water in the beans, I will use some TVP, you know, some textured vegetable protein. And, like when I take a pot of beans to church, I'll just, a lot of times I'll put some of this in a little jar, maybe half a cup of it with me. And if it looks like when it's getting about time to eat and it looks like there's still too much water in there, I'll throw some of this in. And then they look, you know, absorb that. We're gonna look at that harvest vegetable soup next. I like the combination of the carrot and the butternut squash and the sweet potato. It makes a pretty color. And one advantage to this kind of a recipe is that this is cut up in chunks. You know, it's not a lot of tedious cutting. It's just little bitty, it's good-sized chunks, one-sized chunks. And I brought a part of a butternut squash to show how, is that what I use when I peel my squash is I just use a regular peeler. And I just peel off that outside layer there. You can see that there's still some green stripes in here. You don't have to get rid of all of that. You don't have to get down to the really orange color. You can just peel off the outside layer and that works perfectly. And just to show you, like here's the butternut squash. Here's a sweet potato. So they're pretty good sized chunks. And a little quick trick for if you're doing this for, if you're trying to do it a little bit faster, is that you can buy baby carrots and then chop them up so that there's no peeling and, but you do want to chop them up because carrots seem to, of all your vegetables, probably take the longest to cook. And so you'll want those to be the smallest. Now, let's see. So in this pot, first of all, that I've cooked together the squash and the potatoes and the carrots and the onion and I put the pimento in there. And the seasoning is the yeast flakes, some olive oil, and salt. Now, You can put this in the blender, especially if you just scoop out mostly the vegetables and not much of the water. That's how you would do it in the blender to get it smooth. But if you have a submergible blender, these are really handy. And like I had how many cups? I had 20 cups of soup, and I blended it up in a little over a minute and had it in there, all the whole batch, the right consistency. I like to do this too, because have you used a blender with hot stuff in it, and sometimes it would, you know, come out of there. So anyway, I was going to put my beans in there. I'm not going to take the time to do that, but you put your beans in there, and I also have some basil for the seasoning. But it's already, all of those vegetables are already smooth. That was all it took. And again, if you want to leave the oil out, you can. Making bread in the crock pot is very cool. I don't think you'll be able to see my picture here, but I'll just show you one. George has these books in the back, and you can look at these pictures, but probably the easiest way to make bread in the crock pot is where you mix it up in your bread machine or by hand, but if you want to do it in your bread machine, and it's about a 1 pound or a 1 1/4 pound loaf, ball of dough, and you put that, you spray your crock pot with some, a spray, nonstick spray, and you put your ball of dough in the middle of your crock pot. It needs to be at least a 5-quart pot. A 6 or 7-quart pot is ideal for baking bread. But you put that ball of dough in the middle of your pot, and then you put a towel over the top of it to pick up moisture as it heats up in there, and then you put your lid on, and then it usually takes about 2 hours. It rises and bakes. And then you've got this really pretty loaf that's round, and it's just a lovely loaf of bread. It works great. Yes, on low. Yep. Be sure you put that towel there or paper towel, something to catch the drops of moisture from the lid. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I've got the first one was asking about, do you cook it on low? Yes, you bake the bread on low. And then as far as different recipes, I have a poppy seed and a whole wheat and a flax and a black bread and a rye bread. And also how to make rolls in the crock pot. Because anytime you cook something in a crock pot, there's condensation here, and then it's going to drip down on the food. So anytime you're baking something in the crock pot, whether it's flaxseed bars or banana bars or bread, you want to have a towel there, a paper towel. And then you put your lid on. I have it where I bake it in a juice can. And so that's another way to do it. And so in a juice can, you might not be able to, you probably won't be able to put your lid on there. And so you put that paper towel there, and then you put aluminum foil over it, and foil acts as your lid. So you have to put, you can use the juice can in the slow cooker, you just have to put like a little trivet. And a trivet can be a canning ring or, you know, just anything to get it off the bottom a little bit for that air to circulate. Your crock pot can work just like an oven. And it's, you know, during the summertime it uses less heat than an oven. It saves electric-wise, you definitely save money. But if you want to totally eliminate the heat and still bake your bread or cook your beans, you can put your crock pot in the garage and, set a timer or whatever, but that works too. Anything? Yes. Bread in a crock pot? I'm not sure. Maybe not. I'm just doing it today and tomorrow, and I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that one. But thank you for asking. I will show you another kind of bread. This is a yeast bread that is very fast. It's a no-knead yeast bread that we're going to have tomorrow.
not done in a crock pot, but it is no knead, and it's a yeast bread. So, I'll just show you this too. This is nice if you have you had your crock pots in the car and you're going somewhere and like, doesn't that just, like my husband, I'm always saying, there's a pot, you know, slow down, take that corner easy. And so anyway, this is helpful because then you can put it on both sides of your pot and to catch, yep. And as far as the sweet potatoes, this is a coconut milk that I use to cook the sweet potatoes in. You've got your recipe there. I'm getting a little too chatty. She didn't say that. Vicky might have, but she didn't. Anyway, there's your honey coconut sweet potatoes on the back there. And that was an interesting thing. I found that some sweet potatoes are a little more watery content. You know, sweet potatoes and yams, they vary a little bit. And so that will make a difference in your recipe. I did not blend them. I just mashed them up. Any questions about that recipe? I did use the honey. I didn't use the maple syrup. And I didn't put the almonds in there, but I did use the vanilla. And I also have a tip sheet here that I'd be happy to send to anybody about when preparing demo items, how I do that to save me time, and sample items that we're putting together, what I do in that respect too. So I'd be happy to email that to anybody if you email me from that card that I sent you. All right. You know, I think I started to say something and I didn't finish it. Or maybe I did, but I'm going to say it anyway. Doesn't hurt to repeat, right? This is an important thing about crock pots. So I told you I probably have about 25 crock pots. And several of them used to be extra fast. Now they're fast or average pots. And almost all of my pots, I cannot cook beans on low anymore. Because I have used them for hundreds of hours, all of my pots over the years. And they do, you know, they're $20, $30, $40 appliances. They're not going to stay the same forever. And so if you notice that something isn't cooking as fast as it used to, you know, you just keep that in mind, and you might need to switch to high. You know, you might need to buy a new pot, but I can cook any bean in my pots on high, but most of them I can't cook on low anymore. I love just a plain old baked sweet potato, nothing like it. And they do great in the crock pot. I'm telling you, if you cook them on high, they stay a bright orange, they're moist, and it's so easy, you don't even poke them. You just scrub them and put them in there, and off they go. So it was really great to be with you. And tomorrow I'll be using recipes from my Freely Eat cookbook.
Was that amazing? Yes. Give her a big hand. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing time we've had here today. Help us to remember what we have learned. Help us to take the time to try these recipes, and so that we can fill our bodies with this good food so that our bodies and brains will work in an optimal way so that we'll feel good and that we can serve you in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.